The House will come to order. Please stand for the, please stand, even the gallery. Our flag salute will be led by Representative Gilliam.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our opening ceremonies this morning will be presented by the Reverend Dana Warsnop, who is the pastor of Atkinson Memorial Church, a Unitarian Universalist church in Oregon City. She serves as the pastor there. She also, I know her, she's a member of the Oregon City Rotary Club. Welcome, Dana.
Please join me in prayer. Holy One, gracious God of many names and no name, Spirit of life which dwells within and among and beyond us this day and always, may these good women and men who have committed themselves to the service of a greater good, to our common good, may they move and lead with compassion, wisdom, and courage. May they listen carefully to the voices of the poorest among us, those poor in spirit and resources, who are often not heard above the voices of those more powerful and privileged. May they move with integrity and honesty and resist the temptations of power to consider only the narrow interests and lose sight of the greater good of all. May they listen well to one another. May they lead from faith and not from fear, even in these perilous and anxious times. O tender, loving presence, may you encourage them, indeed put courage into these good men and women, reminding us all that we need one another. Amen. Blessed be. Namaste. Salam. Shalom. Peace. May it be so.
Courtesies. Our moment in history today will be presented by Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. March is Women's History Month, and today's moment in history is about women's suffrage. From June 29th through July 5th, 1905, the National American Women's Suffrage Association met in Portland for their annual convention. Most of the convention sessions were held at the First Congregational Church, but delegates also attended a reception in honor of Susan B. Anthony on the grounds of the Lewis and Clark Exposition. The National American Women's Suffrage Association...
Colleagues, could we have a moment of a little more silence, please, for our good colleague, Representative Kotek. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, suffrage, very important topic. Thank you for listening. National American Women's Suffrage Association leaders chose Portland for their annual convention in 1905 to coincide with the exposition. This was part of a national strategy to further advance the cause of women's suffrage in the Western states. The national leaders thought the West offered the best terrain for short-term success in the drive to enfranchise women. During the convention, delegates heard rousing speeches by some superstar suffragettes, including Susan B. Anthony, Alice S. Blackwell, Abigail Scott Duniway, Carrie Chapman Catt, Kate Gordon, and Anna Shaw. They also listened to talks by local dignitaries such as C.E.S. Wood, who expressed support for the women. Representatives from the City of Portland and the Exposition welcomed the delegates. Additional convention activities included discussions of future strategies. After the convention, the association decided to organize the campaign in support of Oregon's 1906 initiative to enfranchise women. Although the 1906 initiative did not pass, the association's presence increased media coverage in the state press, which had been quite limited to that point. Oregon's male voters finally passed an initiative in 1912, granting women the right to vote 8 years before national suffrage. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further courtesies, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I have four honorary pages I'd like to welcome today. The first, Mr. Aaron Satyanarayana. I'm close, and I'm sorry, Aaron. Aaron is from Rosedale Elementary School. He's 10. He's in the fourth grade. He's interested in the literacy group and peer helper. He's a whiz at the spelling bee. He doesn't say he's a spelling champion, but I'll bet you he is. His career goals include being president of the United States. Look out, colleagues. Here he comes. Or he'd settle for Congress. But I think he's going to bypass us altogether. And welcome, Aaron. We're glad you're here. With him is his sister, Meti Satyanarayana. I have been struggling with that all day, and I apologize. She is 15 at Sprague High School. She's on the governing board, National Junior Honor Society. She's also a peer helper. She wants to be a diplomat in the State Department or maybe Congress. Welcome, Meti. We're glad you're here. Next is Hannah Kutin. Hannah's come to visit me in my office before on bills. She's from Highland Elementary School. She's in band, dance, music. She likes horses and reading, and she wants to be a veterinarian. Thank you, Hannah, for coming. We're welcome. And Grace Armstrong. She's from Leslie Middle School. She is in choir, drama, swim team, piano, tennis, learning Japanese culture. Ready, colleagues? She wants to be a legislator or lobbyist. She has a certain history understanding what lobbyists do. You might recognize the name Armstrong. She might like to be a photojournalist or attorney. And her parents are cheering her on in politics. So welcome, Grace. We're glad you're all here, and thank you.
Thank you, Representative, and welcome to the House. Further courtesies, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Azaria, would you please stand? Thank you. Colleagues, I'd like you to meet my honorary page, Azaria Ramsey. She goes to Staten Middle School. She's 11 years old. She's interested in art and PE, and she would like to grow up and be a model. So please welcome her.
Thank you, Representative. Further courtesies, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today I rise to extend courtesies to 50 high school students from my district visiting the Capitol. I can see a few of them here. They attend the Renaissance Arts Academy, one of the small schools at the Marshall High School campus in Southeast Portland, and are participating in a joint Renaissance Arts Portland State University College credit class on government and economics. They're visiting the Capitol today to see firsthand how decisions are made, interests are brokered, and conflicts are resolved. I expect us to show them a lot of the latter. So I urge my colleagues to give a warm welcome to Marshall High School when you see them in the hallways or in your committee hearings later today, and to wish them luck in their future college endeavors. Thank you for joining us today in the Oregon House of Representatives.
Welcome, and further courtesies, Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sandy, come up to the aisle there. Colleagues, please welcome my dear, dear friend, Sandy Barua, who's over here to my left. Sandy has spent about the last 8 years in Washington, D.C., and a number of assignments, including Assistant Secretary of Commerce, and for about the last year was the head of the Small Business Administration. Now he is a senior fellow at the Council of Competitiveness in D.C., and I don't know if that's a lobbying firm at all, but I did pay for my own dinner when we went out last night. Sandy and his wife, Lisa, have been dear friends for years. He actually is homegrown from Oregon. He went to Sprague High School, went to U of O, and he's here this week for a few days just visiting his mom. Colleagues, please welcome my friend Sandy Barua.
Thank you, Representative. Colleagues, I would like you to recognize the American Cancer Society folks that are here today. Perhaps they could stand, those of you. Thank you. They are from the Cancer Action Network and the Tobacco Free Coalition of Oregon. Welcome to your House of Representatives. Please extend courtesies. Thank you for that, but that, of course, is not allowed in the House, so had it been a little faster on the gavel, but thank you. Welcome. Further courtesies? We should note that Representative Maurer's birthday is today, so if you have a chance to welcome or extend happy birthday to him, that would be good. Further courtesies? The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. All members are present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate to pass Senate Bills 129 and House Bill 2162. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate to sign House Bills 2172, 2174, and 2305.
First reading, memorials, and resolutions.
HJM 15, urging Congress to pass legislation and appropriate funds for college education. HJM 16, urging United States Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Homeland Security, and Secretary of State to ensure equitable international fishing privileges with an inclusive economic zone. HJM 17, urging Congress to refrain from imposing mandates on states and allow State of Oregon to freely exercise sovereignty granted to it under 10th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. HJR 27, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to tax expenditures. HJR 28, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to initiative petitions. HJR 29, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to tax expenditures. HJR 30, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to election campaigns. HJR 31, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to tax expenditures. HJR 32, encouraging state agencies to adopt a compressed schedule. HJR 34, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to compensation for damage to air, land, surface water, and groundwater resources. HJR 35, expressing support for findings of report issued by the Federal Forest Lands Advisory Committee. HJR 36, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to panel of special matters to create state legislative and congressional redistricting plan following each federal decennial census. HJR 37, designating Dungeness crab as official crustacean of Oregon. HJR 38, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to campaign finance. HJR 48, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to imposition of taxes on carbon emissions. HJR 49, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to removal limitations on rate of taxes imposed on oil and natural gas. HJR 50, urging Oregonians to divest of certain investment holdings. HJR 52, urging Oregonians to help preserve Oregon's history and history of circuit riders. HM 1, urging Congress to enact legislation ceasing production of penny.
Measures read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2420 and repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2420 and repass the bill. Two-year motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2420, as we remember, adds 12 types of cancer to the existing firefighter presumption for employment-caused occupational diseases under the workers' compensation system. It passed out of this House with a 55-1 vote. The Senate Commerce and Workforce Development Committee, in all their wisdom, added a technical fix, which clarifies that only the new provisions established in HB 2420, not the entire statute amended by this measure, applied to the City of Portland's Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund. ORS Chapter 656, which deals with workers' compensation, exempts firefighters and police employees of any city having a population of more than 200,000 that provides a disability and retirement system by ordinance or charter. The amendment maintains the exemption but extends the new requirement to the City of Portland. Colleagues, as you just witnessed it, and it's unfortunate they left, today is Cancer Awareness Day, and it's only fitting that we put the final passage vote on this bill. It's a good bill. It should pass. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2420 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bailey, how do you vote? He votes aye. House Bill 2420, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. First reading of House Bills.
House Bill 2007 relating to rebates for consumers and savings from health care reform. House Bill 2008 relating to Oregon Education Benefit Board health benefit plans and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2010 relating to elections and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2011 relating to auditing higher education courses. House Bill 2016 relating to participation by community colleges in Oregon Educators Benefit Board benefit plans. House Bill 2017 relating to tax certificated workforce development projects. House Bill 3083 relating to personal flotation devices. House Bill 3111 relating to unlawful trade practice cases. House Bill 3140 relating to unemployment insurance benefits and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3141 relating to diversity in the construction workforce appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3142 relating to diversity in public contracting. House Bill 3143 relating to determination of responsibility for contractors and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3146 relating to taxation of luxury items appropriate money and providing for revenue raising and requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3147 relating to urban renewal. House Bill 3148 relating to vehicle registration fees and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3149 relating to report on corporate taxation. House Bill 3150 relating to corporate tax disclosure. House Bill 3151 relating to vehicle transfer. House Bill 3152 relating to warranties provided to consumers. House Bill 3153 relating to utility facilities. House Bill 3154 relating to proceedings to challenge the validity of bills passed by the Legislative Assembly on the grounds of voting requirement compliance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3155 relating to energy efficiency to consumer-owned utilities. House Bill 3156 relating to safe drinking water. House Bill 3157 relating to juvenile detention facilities. House Bill 3158 relating to broadband and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3159 relating to preferences of public contracting and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3160 relating to family leave benefits, insurance, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3161 relating to construction and greenhouse gas emissions pilot program. House Bill 3162 relating to employment discrimination resulting from whistleblowing. House Bill 3163 relating to refund anticipation loans and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3164 relating to tax credit expenditures, appropriating money, and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3165 relating to inmate labor. House Bill 3166 relating to budgets for education service districts. House Bill 3167 relating to punitive damages. House Bill 3168 relating to punitive damages. House Bill 3169 relating to actions to recover damages for unlawful practices and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3170 relating to construction of statutes. House Bill 3171 relating to jury service. House Bill 3172 relating to voter registration and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3173 relating to tax expenditures prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3174 relating to winery, vineyard, acreage requirements. House Bill 3175 relating to health professional regulatory boards. House Bill 3176 relating to candidates for public office. House Bill 3177 relating to motor vehicle fuel. House Bill 3178 relating to in-steam water right leases. House Bill 3179 relating to liability. House Bill 3180 relating to state agencies and providing that this act shall be referred to the people for their approval or rejection. House Bill 3182 relating to notice of local government decision making. House Bill 3183 relating to public meetings. House Bill 3184 relating to funeral expense insurance policies. House Bill 3185 relating to tollways. House Bill 3186 relating to bonds for financing transportation improvement projects. House Bill 3187 relating to allocation of lottery bonds for transportation improvement projects and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3188 relating to domestic relations. House Bill 3189 relating to income withholding for support. House Bill 3190 relating to voluntary service by retired individuals. House Bill 3191 relating to voluntary service by retired state police officers. House Bill 3192 relating to voluntary service by retired educational personnel. House Bill 3193 relating to voluntary voluntary service by retired nurses. House Bill 3194 relating to driving while under the influence of intoxicants. House Bill 3195 relating to annual report to taxpayers. House Bill 3199 relating to state financial administration and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3200 relating to crime. House Bill 3203 relating to disclosure of tax information by Department of Revenue to state agencies and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3222 relating to agricultural land. House Bill 3223 relating to residential price controls. House Bill 3226 relating to nuisance vineyards. House Bill 3228 relating to dental hygiene, appropriate money, declaring an emergency. House Bill 3229 relating to disposition of bodies. House Bill 3230 relating to hospital reimbursement. House Bill 3231 relating to oral health screens. House Bill 3233 relating to judges' salaries. House Bill 3238 relating to mortgage loan originators and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3239 relating to common school districts opting out of benefit plans offered by the Oregon Education Benefit Board. House Bill 3240 relating to elections. House Bill 3241 relating to license fees. House Bill 3253 relating to plug-in electric drive motor vehicle tax credit. House Bill 3254 relating to special districts and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3255 relating to emergency response timers and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3256 relating to unlawful employment practice involving the uniformed service. House Bill 3257 relating to graduate medical education and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3258 relating to medical education for primary care physicians and appropriate money. House Bill 3262 relating to Oregon prescription drug program. House Bill 3263 relating to statutes of limitations. House Bill 3266 relating to taxation. House Bill 3267 relating to fire protection costs. House Bill 3268 relating to capital gains. Texas House Bill 3269 related to taxation, prescribing an effective date, and providing for revenue raising requires approval by a three-fifths majority. House Bill 3270 related to emergency medical services and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3273 related to domestic violence programs. House Bill 3275 related to performance audits. House Bill 3276 related to elections and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3277 related to ethanol. House Bill 3278 related to residential treatment facility regulation. House Bill 3280 related to actions involving false statements of fact. House Bill 3285 related to state agency audits. House Bill 3288 related to university student code of conduct. House Bill 3295 related to juveniles. House Bill 3315 related to tax credit for private correctional facilities and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3330 related to administration of medical assistance program and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the first time are passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2052 relating to establishing specified facilities. House Bill 2085 relating to notaries public. House Bill 2086 relating to administrative dissolution of nonprofit corporations and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2087 relating to nonprofit corporations that maintain historic cemeteries. House Bill 2201 relating to unemployment insurance administration. House Bill 2509 relating to health education and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the second time are passed the third reading. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill and a short summary.
Senate Bill 164 relating to reporting of assets for public assistance purposes removes three-year limit on requirements to report receipts, transfers, and disposals of assets occurring prior to applying for public assistance for purpose of conforming to limits specified in federal law.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 164. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Schaffler? Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 164, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2090 relating to notaries public.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2090. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, listen up. This is fascinating stuff. I know you're all interested. House Bill 2090 comes to you from your Rules Committee. It protects appropriate and legal use of notary protests of commercial paper. The protest of commercial paper certifies that a check or negotiable instrument has been dishonored or rejected by a financial institution. and is made by a U.S. counsel or vice counsel, notary public, or other person authorized to administer oaths. Advancements in technology allow banks and financial institutions to make electronic presentment of checks, rendering protests of commercial paper a seldom used process. Commercial protests are now rarely used except by financial institutions to collect a dishonored item from an international or overseas bank. In recent years, protests of commercial paper by notaries public has been adopted by so-called, quote, sovereign citizen groups to harass, intimidate, or cause financial harm to private citizens and public officials, particularly judges, law enforcement, and correction officials, and tax authorities. The ideals and tactics of these groups are becoming increasingly popular with inmates in state and federal prisons, where the inappropriate use of notary protest of commercial paper is becoming more widespread in an attempt to prevent judges and corrections officials from performing their official duties. Fictitious claims are often made against these public officials to claim that thousands and millions of dollars are owed. Frequently, these claims are reported to the Internal Revenue Service to make it appear the notary official may have an, the public official may have an unreported or unpaid tax liability. So what is being done? The Secretary of State's office has long advised Oregon notaries public that notary protests of commercial paper is a complex financial proceeding and that it should be conducted only by a knowledgeable and trained notary to facilitate a financial transaction. Most Oregon notaries heed this advice. However, a few notaries continue to be active participants in schemes to harass private citizens and public officials. House Bill 2090 simply puts notary commercial protests under the supervision of licensed attorneys and financial institutions, so they may continue to use notary protests of commercial paper as a legitimate financial transaction, and it provides the Secretary of State authority to revoke the commissions of notaries who misuse the process to harass and intimidate. The bottom line, the bill prevents an obscure financial procedure from being used to harass judges, law enforcement officials, and private citizens. I urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. House Bill 2090, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2093, relating to the publication of administrative rules and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2093. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request permission to use a visual aid.
Representative Roblin requests unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2093 has to do with the Archives Division and their need to publish monthly updates on rules, administrative rules. This is a fairly large monthly bulletin. And annually to provide the written and formal copy of administrative rules. This is one of 18 volumes. So this is what we're talking about. In 1995, we passed a law that required the Secretary of State's office to put all of this online, so you can go to their online and look at it. When that happened, the way this was funded was there were subscriptions that private and public organizations paid a subscription. That subscription cost paid for the production of this these documents. However, as was expected, most of the subscriptions went away because they could get the information online, unnecessary to have the publication. So they continued to decrease the number of publications that they made. But it was still true that agencies in our government felt they needed a copy, a hard copy, so that when people came in other reasons, they wanted a hard copy and they wanted the document to make sure that as the rules they were propagating, they got to see how it got printed and it all came out. So we had a problem. The Secretary of State's office was expected to produce this with no incoming income to do it. So they looked around and found at least one example in Idaho where they made the decision. The people who wanted this were the agencies, therefore the agency should be paying on the amount of work they are requiring to have done. So what they did is made a formula that required them to take into account the number of rule actions that they take each year and the number of pages that they consumed in the final edition and make a formula that came up with how much they would charge each agency that propagates rules. It is my opinion that doing it this way, charging those, it might include them to be more frugal in looking at the rules and other things they're propagating, because those that do the littlest, four pages, end up paying $28. So that's kind of the least you'll pay. There are a couple agencies that pay in the thousands of dollars. They produce a lot of work. This discussion took place before the governor made his budget, and so all of the agencies were explained this ahead of time, that they should understand that they need to share this cost if they want to have these printed versions, so they knew ahead of time what that was going to cost. And I believe it is a good way of helping agencies understand when they produce the volume of work that they do, that there is a cost to that. And so I encourage you to pass this bill. My hope is that there will come a time when people decide that it can be done entirely online. But I think there are needs and times when having a copy to share with people would be an important thing. I think the agencies at this time believe that to be the case. I would encourage your support of House Bill 2093.
Is there further discussion? Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of old-fashioned.
Representative Garrard is
to
the bill.
To the bill, thank you. I'm kind of old-fashioned in that I ran a small business for almost 30 years. When I had a profit center that was no longer a profit, I got rid of it. That's basically what the Secretary of State's office is dealing with. There is not enough demand for the 18 volumes of written and published on paper administrative rules. So they have decided that they'd make all the other agencies increase their fees and pay for the publishing, which there isn't that great a demand for. To me, that's not good business. And it does not set an example for our state, given our present status of our economy. If you're doing something that loses you money, you stop doing it. And I wish we could get more state agencies to develop that attitude. It's unfair to the other agencies to make them have to pay for something that nobody really needs anymore, because all the same information that's published is available online. So I urge a no vote on 2093.
Further discussion? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Does the carrier yield?
I do.
Thank you. I'm sorry for not getting to you earlier. This just occurred to me as the other representative was speaking. Could you explain to us what the result of a no vote would be on this particular bill?
A no vote would do two things. One, currently the money spent on this pays for the publication of these journals that go out that they use in their work in the agencies. It also means that the entire cost of putting it online would be absorbed by the Secretary of State's office, as opposed to these agencies who want it online. If you read the bill, it also acknowledges that the time taken to put it online is also part of this cost structure. So we would defer the cost to the Secretary of State's office entirely, as opposed to those who are using the service, i.e. having the publication both of these hard copies and of the Internet information being expressed solely paid by the Secretary of State's office, as opposed to the agencies that are producing the amount of work that needs to be put online and in these books.
Thank you. To the bill.
To the bill.
Well, I absolutely agree with the previous speaker, the representative, who feels that this is something that should go away. I absolutely agree. Unfortunately, I don't think a no vote does that. I believe that a yes vote has a result of making the agencies who are demanding or asking for this book to rethink their request. And I believe the only way we're going to achieve the goal, which is to get this book out of print online only, is to require those people who want it to pay for it. So I'm going to be a yes vote, and I would encourage your yes vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question to the carrier.
Does the carrier yield?
I do.
Also apologize, Representative, for not getting this question in advance. And let me say, as brief preamble, that I do think there's a chance that inertia keeps us doing old practices that cost us money, and I think there's probably lots of agreement on the committee about that. Is there another chance for this body or for a committee within this body to demonstrate some leverage or exercise some leverage so that we can hold this agency or other agencies accountable with regard to how we spend our publishing resources?
My answer to that would be that I have no problem. I think the Secretary of State's office, they felt that by putting this bill forward, they are in fact doing that, putting inertia onto the idea of the other agencies as opposed to doing it by this other publication. They need to continue to produce it. I think they are telling other agencies, if you don't need this published provision, maybe your fees would be less because we can just put it on the Internet. But that currently, their feedback was that the people felt that they needed it, so they wanted to put this forward. So I think there is inertia. I have no problem also encouraging the Senate to ask these questions more seriously, delve into it entirely, and see if they feel that the agencies do not, in their opinion, need it, and therefore it could come back here for concurrence. But I think currently the testimony in our committee was that they believed there was a need, they went out and checked, they had found other states that did the same kind of thing over time. I think the inertia is moving that way, and as you know, I'm trying to get more Internet availability in other areas as well. And so I think it is something that we are all moving to. But I think that they made that decision, they talked to all of the other places, and they felt that this is the way to have that happen.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
And let me just say that I do hope this is a place where our Ways and Means subcommittees will delve in a little bit. We're going to be going through fiscal crisis where most of the time we're just going to be gashing the jobs of people we care about to provide services we care about. If there are ways to provide our services more efficiently, we should. And I do worry that agencies can run hog wild with how they do their practices with little intervention or oversight from us. And so even though I've been convinced by the carrier I'm going to vote yes on this bill, I hope that will not take pressure out of the balloon, but will continue to expand pressure in the balloon so we will apply pressure to do what we can do. Thanks very much, Mr. Speaker.
And colleagues. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close?
I will, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. In committee, we got testimony from the Secretary of State's office that they had checked with other agencies. They'd given them this price list ahead of time. They'd talked to them a lot about how important do they really believe this. I think the inertia is to move this bill and to encourage people to go online. But even if they go online, they are going to have time and personnel to get all this material to go down. I think one of the hopes is when they see this volume, they'll realize how much work they're doing. Maybe they can slow down on the number of rules that they have to make, because that would help everybody in the long run. So I encourage your aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Schaffler? Votes no. Representative Greenlick? Votes aye. Representative Wisnett? Votes no. Representative Springer? Votes no. House Bill 2093, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2124, relating to nutrition assistance.
The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2124. A, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is probably one of the easiest votes you'll have today. It basically changes the name of the food stamp program to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in accordance with federal statutory changes. It updates references to the Food Stamp Act of 1977 to the Food and Nutrition Act. It allows for program beneficiaries to receive benefits as a check or direct deposit rather than a debit card. And a question has come to me on how you would get a check rather than a debit card. And we don't know the exact answer to that, but we speculate that in a couple of cases, it's very rare, it may be that people in a couple of counties that are rural counties, it's an issue of them living pretty far away from town, and they're older, and it's easier to do a direct deposit system. And I hope that answers that question.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Boone, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boone, how do you vote? Aye. Representative Schaffler has voted. Representative Brune? Representative Springer? Votes aye. House Bill 2124, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2175, related to sex offender reporting.
The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2175A. Representative Siegler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, what HB 2175A engrossed will do is modify several provisions of the Oregon Sex Offender Registration statutes contained in Chapter 181. Throughout that body of statutes, there is a term, another jurisdiction used quite frequently with no definition. What this does is specifically change those references to another United States court and define exactly what those courts are so that it removes any doubt in the application of these statutes. the clarifying language used in registration statutes makes them more uniform in nature and easier to understand and apply. Additionally, under current Oregon law, if an Oregon resident is convicted and adjudicated for a sex crime outside of the jurisdiction of Oregon, unless they are transferred to Oregon while serving a period of incarceration or for some type of supervision such as probation or post-prison supervision, that person is not required to register because they are not moving into the state. They're moving back to their state of residence. So to get around this loophole, additionally, this another United States court language will help close that loophole and require that such an offender, when they come back into the state of Oregon, their state of residence, that they will be required to register pursuant to the sex offender registration statutes. An additional change in the bill is to add, a housekeeping clarification. Terms chief of police, county sheriff are used interchangeably throughout our sex offender statutes and other places in our statutes. And what this does is to make it very clear and consistent to use city police department and sheriff's office when referring to those two entities. And finally, what it does is require notification both to juvenile and to adult offenders that are moving back into the state, who've been convicted of one of these crimes outside the state and are moving back into the state, of what their registration requirements are prior to, basically it requires an application process and then notification to that person of what their registration requirements are going to be when they come back to the state of Oregon. And I urge your passage of this measure.
Is there further discussion? Representative Stiegler, do you wish to close?
No.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kenemer, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2175A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2187, relating to fingerprints required by Oregon Youth Authority.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2187A. Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2187 comes out of your House Judiciary Committee on a unanimous vote. It expands the power of the Oregon Youth Authority to request fingerprints for background checks. Under present law, OYA is authorized to request fingerprints from its employees, potential employees, and service providers, but foster parents who are charged with providing guidance and care for juvenile offenders are not explicitly covered by the current statute. This bill would grant OYA clear authority to request fingerprints from both foster home operators and any adult members of the household of foster home operators. It had a unanimous vote, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Garrett, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem Votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. And Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2187A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2230, relating to coordination of land use decision-making between state agencies and local governments.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2230. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2230 comes to you from the House Land Use Committee. And what I want to make clear today is the intent of this bill. The intent is to update and improve the coordination of land use decision-making that involves both state and local permitting processes. It is primarily intended to help applicants and our local government partners. Unfortunately, the language required to accomplish this simplification is rather complex, as seems to be always the case in land use discussions. Land use applications differ depending on what activity is envisioned as to whether or not whether they are most appropriate to start at the local government level or at the state level. The sequence of necessary decision-making by local government and state agencies is not amenable to a blanket rule, hence the complexity of this bill. Most of the time, the appropriate methodology is to first obtain a local decision and then follow up with some type of state permitting, but sometimes the applicant needs the state agency determination first, perhaps an issue regarding air quality or water quality, and then a subsequent decision from the local jurisdiction. House Bill 2230 clarifies that in either instance, only the initial decision may be appealed as a, quote, land use decision. When a subsequent decision about secondary permitting or declarations is made, statute will now indicate that such determinations are not additional land use decisions and are then not subject to an additional appeal process, or as was described in committee hearing, a second bite of the apple. Streamlining, coordination, and clarifying one path to appeal should have cost savings for both applicants and authorities. The bill was crafted by an informal work group of county planners and Department of Land Conservation and Development personnel. It's supported by the Association of Oregon County Planning Directors and the Oregon Chapter of the American Planning Association. I urge your support as well.
Is there further discussion? Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, as a member of your land use committee for the last couple of months, we have been focused on digesting the recommendations of the Big Look Task Force. The recommendation they made that is perhaps most unanimously accepted by the committee is that we need to simplify the land use process. In addition, some members of the committee have raised the issue of Measure 49 claimants and that promises were made of a fast track that has really yet to develop as a fast track for anybody who has a Measure 49 claim. And we have pleaded for some movement on that issue to benefit those folks. Instead of that, what you have before you is a bill that is going to streamline and improve the land use process for state agencies. And it is my feeling that we are sending the wrong message by moving state agencies to the head of the line and attempting to make the process easier for them as our first significant act on land use in this legislature. And for that reason, although in addition I'm not convinced that the bill, which actually increases the amount of words in our land use statutes, has at the end of the day streamlined or simplified the process, for the reason that this sends the wrong message about our priorities on land use reform, I urge you to send a strong signal that the people of Oregon should be put first, in front of state agencies, and I urge your no vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cowan, do you wish to close?
Thank you, I do. Colleagues, I didn't count the number of words, but I did read this bill very carefully as I prepared my remarks, because I know that it isn't simple to read statutory language, or at least for the non-members of the bar like me, it's not easy to read through it. With all due respect for my colleague from Wilsonville, I do think that he is in error when he says that we are trying to design something to make it easier for state agencies. It is my sincere belief that this bill is aimed at easing a burden for our constituents, for applicants in the land use planning process, and for our local governments. There is case law, and I can't cite it off the top of my head, that there were complications when that kind of a process went through a deliberation at the local level, and then when the agency came back with their required permitting or whatever, that was considered a second land use decision and it was appealed again. That's really the impetus behind the development of this bill, as well as to accomplish one of the recommendations of the Big Look Task Force around simplicity and less complexity. That's the goal of this bill. The language doesn't always get there, but I do sincerely believe that's the intent, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2230, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2310, relating to modifications of a protective order under Family Abuse Prevention Act.
The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2310A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. House Bill 2310 basically modifies the Family Abuse Prevention Act. What it does is amends ORS 107-730 to expand the court's authority to modify certain terms of an existing restraining order if it was issued as a result of the Family Abuse Prevention Act for a good cause shown. Under current law, once a restraining order is final, the court's authority to modify terms of the order is limited to custody and parenting time terms only. But the needs of families, particularly families in stress, change over time, and sometimes parties may have good cause to seek modifications of other terms of the restraining order. For example, after a restraining order has been entered, a petitioner who has been getting harassing phone calls may need to request a modification to prohibit contact by phone. Or a respondent may need to request a modification in order to be able to move back into a home that the petitioner has vacated. This legislation provides the specific authority needed to address the changing safety needs of families in stress and to provide for other changed circumstances. Many courts already allow this practice. This bill essentially conforms the law to current practice. This bill is narrowly tailored so as to prevent abuse of the process. Good cause must be shown before a request can be granted in only certain terms, and not the underlying protective relief may be modified. This bill was unanimously supported by the members from the House Judiciary Committee. There is no fiscal impact, and I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2310, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2317, relating to collection of state judicial branch delinquent accounts and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2317. Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2317 adds a new substantive tool to the Judicial Department's collections program by requiring the Oregon State Lottery Commission to check for outstanding court financial obligations before disbursing lottery winnings in excess of $600. Currently, individuals who receive lottery winnings can avoid paying outstanding or delinquent court-ordered financial obligations such as restitution and fines. Under this bill, the lottery will be able to compare winners' names against a Judicial Department database of debtors. The lottery already performs a similar task by checking for delinquent child support obligations owed by lottery winners. In the case of an outstanding court financial obligation, the lottery will hold the winnings for 30 days and notify the state court administrator's office. That office will take appropriate steps to implement a garnishment similar to the existing process for child support. In the event of garnishment proceedings by both the state court administrator and Division of Child Support, the proceeds of the lottery prize must first be applied against the garnishment for child support. Revenue and fiscal estimates predict a net gain of $225,000 of revenue for 09-11. This received a unanimous vote in your Judiciary Committee. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Garrett, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Jensen, votes aye. House Bill 2317, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2489, relates to documents issued by the Department of Transportation.
Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2489. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2489 is the first in a series of bills that have been developed by a local reentry task force here in Marion County, as well as part of what has come out of the governor's reentry task force. 2489 directs the Department of Corrections to work with the Department of Transportation to assist offenders in obtaining driver's license or ID cards from their release of incarceration. Currently, DOC is working with the Department of Transportation and has a pilot program to make this happen. When our inmates come out, they need to have certain things to help them be successful to reduce the potential for incarceration. This is a good bill, and appreciate your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2489, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2490, related to the Department of Corrections.
The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2490. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2490, colleagues, is another bill that will help people be successful once they have paid their debt. This will encourage the Department of Corrections to do what they're already starting to do, but is to have a what you would call a resume of work experience for people who are being released, so that when they come out with the last bill with an ID card and possibly a halfway decent resume, they'll be able to have a chance to seek employment, housing, and other things that will be needed for their successful transition back into society. Appreciate your support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holby, how do you vote? Holby votes aye. House Bill 2490, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials, and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 129, related to commercial driver licenses and declaring an emergency.
Bill read first time has passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 97 related to loan cancellation life insurance.
Bill read second time has passed the third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day having been completed. Announcements. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today's the final day to get money in for the governor's food drive. The Oregon Food Bank needs all of our help, and if you could drop a check by the chief clerk's office today, it would be very helpful to get us ahead of the Senate's numbers. Appreciate your support. Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, you received today in your inbox a fairly thin document called the Oregon Legislators Tax Guide, published by the Oregon Society of Certified Public Accountants. You should either use this in your preparation of your own income tax returns or give it to your tax preparer. There are rules that apply only to legislators, nobody else, and your tax preparer needs to know about them. We should thank the Society of Certified Public Accountants for the preparation of this document for us, which they do on a regular basis. I am giving this announcement today in lieu of the announcement normally given by former Representative Tom Butler, who, of course, is no longer here because our speaker today has his seat. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further announcements? Remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, March 11th, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, March 11th, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned.